truth be told, I do get a little emotional sometimes. And you think, wow, Kent, that was very, very small. But the reality is, when we take seriously the gospel, I'm going to transition right into our message because I don't have a whole lot of time this morning. But the reality is, when we take seriously the gospel and we recognize the reality of the Great Commission, and we recognize the reality that we have been called, truthfully, as Matthew 28, 18 says, 18 through 20 talks about going and making disciples of all nations, that we're called to baptize, we're called to teach, and we're reminded in that, that Jesus himself will be with us always, even until the end of the age. But we have been called to go. You have been called to go. If you've put your trust in Jesus Christ, you have been called onto a mission. In one respect, we as Grace Church are called into the mission of reaching and loving our kids. So I do get a little emotional sometimes because I realize, and I'm beginning to realize more and more, the importance of the influence that God gives me and that God gives you to make disciples. So we can reach our neighbor, so we can reach those in the greater Kingston area, and so we can be a part of reaching the world. And that truthfully really excites me. So if you have your Bible, if you could turn with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, we're going to be in verses 26 through 40. And I want to read a story to you. It's a famous story, you may have heard it before. I want to read a story to you of a missionary. A missionary who took his call seriously. A missionary who understood, I think, understood his call so deeply that no matter where he was, no matter what he did, he was all about loving people and sharing the love of Jesus that had transformed his life. Transformed his life, and he wanted to share that truth with others. And so starting in verse 26, I want to read with you. And maybe you're not used to church. I just want to stop right there. Maybe you're not used to church. Maybe you have never heard this story before. I'm an auditory learner myself. So when I get fixated on the words, I'll be honest, I sometimes miss out on the story. So maybe you've never heard this before. You are welcome to either, you can close your eyes if you like to and just take this in. Now don't fall asleep on me. But you're welcome just to look up and see the screen and just take in this story, because we believe this really happened, and this is a very impactful story, I know, for me. Starting in verse 26, it reads, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all of the treasury of the Candake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit of the Lord told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you are reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I,' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me?' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him." This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. So they traveled along the road. They came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Who can stand in the way of me being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way, rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared in Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. So here we meet a man named Philip. We actually had heard a little bit about him in the previous chapters of Acts. He was one of seven people selected by the apostles in Acts chapter 6, along with Stephen, to look after, mostly looking after the widows and looking after those in need. So this was a man who was commissioned by the apostles to go and serve. In Acts chapter 6, we also hear about Stephen, who was with him, one of the seven, who was out preaching the good news. And the religious leaders of that day did not like what they heard from Stephen. I think they were jealous of Stephen because the people are listening in and following Stephen. So they take Stephen prisoner. Stephen is then told to stand before the religious leaders and stay his cause. They say all these bad things about him. Stephen stands up and begins to preach at them, basically saying, "You guys have missed it. You're all about you're looking good, but you've missed out on the reality that it's not about what you look like on the outside, but it's about the inside. You guys look great to those who see you, but inside you have not allowed Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior." The religious leaders obviously didn't like that. They stoned Stephen. That's how chapter 7 ends. And then chapter 8 begins with the six leaders now and all other believers aside from the apostles being scattered about Judea and Samaria, which was told about actually in the beginning of Acts. Chapter 1, it said that Jesus himself said that the gospel was going to go into Jerusalem, then it was going to go off to Judea and Samaria, and eventually it was going to go off to the ends of the earth. And so here in the beginning of Acts, we see Philip, and he's going off into Samaria, and he's taking this gospel with him, the same gospel that he was presenting and preaching in Jerusalem. Now he's suddenly walking down the road, preaching it to those in Judea and Samaria. By the end of chapter 8, we now see this man, Philip, and he's taking the gospel now, and he's walking off and going off on his way past Samaria. But he's presenting the same gospel that he presented in Jerusalem. He's presenting that same gospel here to this Ethiopian eunuch. So I want to start off with asking you a question. And that question is, are you following God's leading? Are you following God's leading? Because here we have a man. Here we have a man who takes his commission seriously. He took his commission seriously in Acts 6. He's told to go and serve. He's obviously commissioned, and he knows about the same commission in Matthew 8 or 28 to go and make disciples. He takes that commission seriously, and he's going on his way. In fact, really quick, I just want to share this with you this morning. If you read actually in verse 8 of chapter 8, we see that this Philip is in Samaria, and he's presenting the gospel, he's healing people, he's all this crazy stuff's going on. But the reality, I don't want you to miss this, he is presenting this gospel. And what is the reality of this? The reality in verse 8 is, so there was great joy in the city. So Philip is going about from place to place, presenting this gospel, and there is a response from the gospel. There's freedom in the gospel, because people are recognizing Jesus Christ as Lord. They're experiencing freedom, and the response is great joy. So here we are in verses 26 through 40. We meet this Ethiopian eunuch. But the truth is, if Philip wasn't willing to follow the Spirit's leading, he never would have ended up talking to this eunuch. So I want to ask you that question then. Are you following the Spirit's leading? Now, Philip himself had an angel appear to him. So Philip is told to go down this street, and eventually he's told to go and stand by this chariot. Now, maybe an angel will appear to you. I don't want to say it couldn't happen, but that sounds a little crazy to one extent. But if you're willing to allow the Spirit to lead you, and if you're willing to allow the Word of God to lead you, He is going to take you to places that you probably would not normally go in your own inclination. For me and my wife, we are 1 week away from a year since we moved to Kingston. November 4th. Yeah, hey. Very cool. And I remember that day very well. We got up early in the morning. In fact, we found out that our stuff was going to leave earlier than expected. I'm so grateful for the elders and those who came to our apartment and beat us and beat our storage container to empty it and get us set up at our house before we even arrived. So I was so grateful on that day. That was a year ago. And I remember myself, and this is to give God the glory, I remember all kinds of emotions, all kinds of crazy emotions, like this is nuts. I'm taking my wife, we're going up to this place called Kingston that I'd never heard about before. Sorry, I apologize. It doesn't make you any less important, but I'd never heard of Kingston. And we knew in our heart of hearts, deep within ourselves, we knew we were called to this place. But we had never really met you. We didn't know where God was going to take us. And a year out from there, a year later, I look out and I can't help but recognize the way I've seen God at work over the past 350 plus days. It's been amazing to watch God work. I've met people. I've seen the Holy Spirit move. I've seen someone walk from death to life. I've seen people take next steps. I've heard stories of how you've taken the gospel to your neighbor. Oh, it's so wonderful. I've been so blessed this year. And I am so thankful God opened my eyes to Kingston and God led Amanda and myself to you. And I'm just one person. And I'm not finished yet. And the Lord's not finished with you yet. But this is my testimony. This is my story of the past year. And where has God led you this past year? Maybe He's led you into the valley this year. Maybe it's been a year of hardship for you. I'll be honest, there have been valleys this year for me that I've hit. There's stories I'm not ready to share yet with you of how I've seen the Lord walk me through tragedy and hardship in my own life. And maybe that's where you've been in this year. And there have been great, great victories that I've seen this year as well. And maybe this has been a year of victory for you. But wherever you find yourself, the same God who leads us in the valley is the same God who leads us onto the mountaintop. And we rejoice in that reality. We rejoice in that truth. But as we look out into the end of 2018, and as I think of my second year, and as we go into 2019, are you attuned to the Spirit? And are you following God's leading in your life? And if you're wondering, what is my leading? I can help you with that, I believe, in the very basic essence. Because in the basic essence of taking the gospel to others, we have to just recognize the Word of God is clear to us. The Word of God is clear that we are called. And we say this over and over again, but we are called to go and make disciples. you, if you've put your trust in Jesus Christ, you are called, just like me, we all are called to go and make disciples. And if we are called to go and make disciples, that means we can go with expectation. Because God is not just sending us off on some crazy journey on our own. If we've been called to go and make disciples, then you can be assured of this. You can be confident of this. God's going to put people in your life that you are going to be called to share the love of Jesus with. God is going to put people in your life that you are called to share the gospel to. So don't be surprised when your neighbor who doesn't know Jesus walks up to you and wants to build a relationship with you. Don't be surprised when they do that and it becomes uncomfortable for you. Don't be surprised in that. But go beyond yourself. Take that next step, would you? Take that next step to love your neighbor. Whether it be your physical next door neighbor or your coworker or the person at the grocery store that you bump across in your path. God puts people in our path that we are called to love and we are called to share the gospel with. Philip is a great example for us of this. This is a man who was on mission. He got his mission. And I want to be able to stand and say, you know, I'm getting the mission and I got the mission. But even on Friday, this is me being transparent with you, and me working through what it looks like in my own life to take the gospel beyond myself. I was working on my house with some people and having a great time. And I was very fixated on, I got to get this stuff done. In fact, I'm not the most handy person, but I'm learning. This is good. But I was there. I was working on fixing something. I had this in my mind. I want to cut this piece in a certain length and all this stuff. And there's a guy who came to our house, and he's giving us an estimate to paint our house. And I'm fixated. I got to get this project done. He's standing about 15 feet away from me. I kind of go over and shake his hand. I walk off, and I'm going to start working. And I can tell he wants to talk to me. Just got this sense he wants to talk to me. He wasn't this spirit, like crazy thing. It wasn't like an angel appeared to me and said, go talk to this guy. I just got a sense he wanted to talk to me. So I put down the material I was using, and I walked over to him. My wife and I walked up, and we talked with this gentleman. He began talking about his kids and how proud he was and how thankful he is to God for what's going on in his life. And we just affirmed him. Got some, hey, I'm a pastor right down the street. I have no idea where that conversation will go. I might never see that man again. I don't know. But if I'm not willing to put down what I'm doing, allow myself to become uncomfortable for the sake of others' comfort, then I've missed out on my own mission that God's put me on. Not perfect at this, but I'll just be honest, I'm trying, I'm working on this, and by God's grace, he's not finished with me yet. He's putting people in my path, and I give him glory for that. So who is God putting in your path? Who is God calling you to love? I've already gone way, way longer than I wanted to on that point, so we'll keep rolling. But here's the truth for us. We talk about grace beyond the walls, right? If you're new to grace, maybe you've never heard us say that, but if you've been here for a year or longer, you hear us say that all the time. We want to take God's grace, the grace that he has given us, the gospel, the good news that transforms our life. We want to take that grace. We want to share it beyond our community, beyond ourselves as a church, and into the greater Kingston community. So as a church, we must recognize that we have been sent to our community. We must recognize this, Grace. we must recognize that we are called to follow God's leading, and part of that is just to simply pick up our eyes, pick up our heads, and see that our neighbor is lost. And then, if we follow God's leading, we will begin to see how God is calling us to love our neighbor. So, what was it, 8 days ago we had Trunk or Treat, right? What a great opportunity that is for us to love our neighbor. Just an opportunity for us to go beyond ourselves. That's not the end. The end isn't Trunk or Treat. That's just the beginning. But that's an opportunity for us to go beyond ourselves and begin to see our neighbor and love our neighbor. So secondly, as we look at Philip's story, we can recognize that Philip met the Ethiopian eunuch right where he was at. Did you notice that? Philip's standing there at the chariot. He's listening. He doesn't just run right up to the person and begin talking to them. He's listening. He hears what the eunuch is reading, and he begins a conversation with the eunuch. And for us, as we're going beyond ourselves, I have to remember this, that I need to meet people where they're at. We all are on a journey. I believe there are probably people in this room who don't know Jesus. And if I'm not willing to walk with that person where they're at, if I just want that person to fix themselves, clean themselves up to where I think the standard is, then they can love Jesus. Then they can know the Jesus that I know. I've missed the gospel. We are called to go to our neighbor where they're at. And we're called to allow the same gospel that changed our lives, because the truth of the matter is, Jesus met me as a sinner. I heard the gospel for the first time and I was not alive. There was a time when I was dead. That same grace that came into my mess is the same grace that has to go into everybody's mess. So we need to meet. We need to go to our neighbor and allow the gospel to transform them where they're at. So just like Philip went to the eunuch and began to have that conversation about Isaiah, we too need to go and meet our neighbor where they are. And how cool is it? I just reflect on this. The eunuch was already on a journey. You catch that? The eunuch was already on a journey with God. This wasn't the first time he had heard about God, because he had the scriptures in front of him. He was Ethiopian. I mean, I've tried to study this and understand this better. The reality is he's from somewhere south of Egypt. There's a whole lot more to that, but he knew who God was. He was, in some sense, a follower of Yahweh. So God was already working in that person's life. And there Philip is, and he's able to meet him where he's at and walk with him through the gospel. And the eunuch walked from death and stepped into life. And the baptism is a way for us to understand that the eunuch now identified himself as a follower of Jesus. He had been buried with Christ and been raised to life, gone from under the water to above the water. It's just that symbol of, he now identified himself as a follower of Jesus. He got it. So we need to meet our neighbor where they're at. And for us as a church, we need to love those who aren't like us. For us to take grace beyond the walls, we need to love those that don't look like us. And we need to allow ourselves to be more and more uncomfortable so that our neighbor who doesn't know Jesus can become comfortable, so that they can hear the gospel and so that they can accept Jesus. And then they can become uncomfortable so that they can make other people comfortable so that they can accept Jesus. And the cycle continues. But I have to allow myself, in grace, we have to allow ourselves to become uncomfortable. If the standard for Grace Church is comfort, we've missed the mark. That's not the standard. We know that. But if we allow the standard to be our comfort, we've missed the mark. Man, I want to become more and more uncomfortable so other people will know Jesus. And that's not me and my flesh speaking, that's me as a follower of Jesus speaking. Because I want my neighbor to know Jesus. So that's step two for us. And then step three, if we look at Philip's life, what was Philip doing? In the basic essence of what Philip was doing, he was just overflowing with the gospel. He was just overflowing with the gospel. No matter where Philip went, no matter what Philip was doing, he allowed the gospel to be at the forefront of his speech. Why? Because he loved Jesus. This isn't anything new. There's not some new gospel here. And maybe you've heard this and maybe you get this. Maybe you hear this and you're looking at how does this play out in my life? What does it look like for me to make disciples? Our first step, and I've said this before and I'm going to say it again, our first step is that we love Jesus. Grace, we have got to be known as people who love Jesus. And I see people who get that. I see people who get that. Because if we understand first that we need to be disciples, then we can be people who make disciples. As a follower of Jesus, I wear many hats. I wear many hats. So I wear my disciple hat, and then I often wear my disciple-making hat, right? One sense, I'm a disciple, you know, I'm loving Jesus and I'm walking with Jesus. In another sense, I can take that hat off and put on my hat for making disciples. But that's not really what we're called to do. We're actually always called to wear our disciple hat. You're always a disciple. And you're also, put on your both hats at the same time, you're also called to make disciples. So we're never beyond being a disciple. There's not this amazing thing where one day you step forward and all of a sudden you go from being a disciple, then all of a sudden you make disciples. The time when you were called to make disciples was when you accepted Jesus to be your Savior. There's not this magical time. There are people, I think, that wonder, well, when am I going to be efficient enough to make disciples? When am I going to know enough to make disciples? Well, you already know enough if you've accepted Jesus, because there is no new gospel. You might not know all the answers, but guess what? No one knows all the answers except Jesus. So please, keep that disciple hat on and keep that disciple-making hat on and allow that gospel to overflow into your life. And that same gospel that will inflow into your life is the same gospel then that will outflow into the lives of others. So do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Because that's your first step. And then for us as a church, the gospel must be foundational in everything we do. The gospel must be foundational in everything we do. Because apart from the gospel, apart from the work of Jesus, we're just people. There's nothing going to happen here. So we must allow the gospel to be a part of everything that we do at Grace. And what does that look like? I mean, I look in our youth program, for instance, or our Awana program too. I've thoroughly enjoyed my time around our Awana kids, especially our cubbies. That's our youngest. But I'll be honest, I get a little nervous during the game time experience because they love to play this game called Chase the Pastor and Hit Him. And where's the gospel in that, right? Where's the gospel in that? But the truth is, if we allow the love of Jesus to be a part of everything that we do, then even the silliness has a purpose. Even the silliness of running around with cubbies, with our little kids, and goofing off with them, has a purpose to share the love of Jesus, to build relationship with others so that we can be disciples and make disciples. So this as a basic essence is what it means for us. This is the basic application of being grace beyond the walls. And as I look out to 2019, this is where I see us continuing to go. Nothing new. Nothing new in the sense of same gospel. We're still called to go and make disciples. But at the same time, there's a whole lot of newness going on, because just as I've seen God at work throughout this year, I look forward to seeing where God takes us next year. My hope is that I look out next year and I see a couple new faces out here that I've seen myself walk from death to life. And I hope the same can be said for you, that we can be people who are disciples, who love Jesus, and that out of the overflow of our heart, just like Philip, we can lead others to Jesus as well, because we know that we can't save ourselves. And the same gospel that was at work in me is the same gospel that I want to be at work in my neighbor. And so we're gonna move now to a time of communion. And I want you to just take a moment as the ushers are going to be coming forward soon in this time of transition. I want to allow you to process the gospel in your own life. I want you to allow the gospel to settle into wherever you're at right now. Maybe you feel like you're in the valley. Maybe you feel like you're in a place of frustration. I want you to allow that grace to wash over you this morning. Doesn't mean your life's going to get easier, but be reminded of the one who's walking with you, and that is Jesus Christ. And if you're on the mountain this morning, man, would you take some time and praise God? Because life is a whole lot of mountains and it's a whole lot of valleys. And then it's a whole lot of walking with God in between as well. And maybe you've never accepted Jesus to be your Savior. Maybe you've never heard the gospel before. It's the same gospel that saved me. It's the same gospel that saved me. My trusting that 2,000 years ago, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, walked on the earth. He came as a baby. He lived, and as 1 Corinthians 15 says, Christ died for our sins. He was buried and He rose from the dead. I believe He rose from the dead. And He was the perfect substitute for me. See, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, as Romans 6 said. And so, maybe you've never taken that step. Today could be the day that you understand that I am a sinner, but Christ was my perfect substitute. Lord, forgive me for my sin. I'm turning to You, Jesus, to be my Savior. I'm putting my trust in You, that You are enough for me. So today could be the day that you step from death to life. Grace, I'm excited. I've gone longer than I was anticipating, but it's because I'm excited. I'm excited to take the gospel to my neighbor, and I'm excited that we are all called to go and make disciples and take the gospel to our neighbor. So would you just take some time? We're going to have a time of communion. Let me quick pray for you. Father, I thank You. Father, I thank You for Your gracious gospel that met me where I was at. I thank You for those that shared the gospel, that shared the gospel with me. I'm so blessed, Lord. So thankful that someone shared the gospel with me. Father, I pray that we would be people that see beyond ourselves. That we would take the gospel that changed our lives and we would share it with our neighbor. Because there's no better time than now to share the gospel. And when I understand the love of Jesus, It overwhelms me to think, God, that you would love me so much to send your son, Jesus. Oh, Father, thank you. May we be a people that are marked by your gospel, that allow your gospel to transform us and allow us to go and share the same truth with our neighbor. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and dying for me. In Jesus' name, amen.